I talked about the fig tree. And the fig tree was listed for us in John chapter 1, verses 50 and 51. And I'm going to kind of go through this quickly as a review. But Jesus answered Nathanael because he was astounded that he knew he was under a fig tree. And Jesus said, "Do you believe simply because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You will experience even more impressive things than that." Isn't that a good scripture? Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. God's talking to you and me. You and I are going to experience more impressive things. You got that? Got that? Okay. More impressive things. Just like Don's healing, just like Andrew's healing, just like Richard's healing, just like those, Carol's healing, just like all those that were healed. More impressive things. I prophesy to you eternal truth. This is Jesus. From now on, everybody say, from now on. All right, that was half of you. The rest of you, come on, engage. Ready? From now on. That means from this point forward, right? From now on, you will see what? An open heaven. And gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway reaching into heaven with the messengers of God climbing up and down upon him. Notice something. This is important. Get this. Nathanael meets Jesus. He declares him to be the Son of God. Jesus then says, from now on, from now, when you just met me, from now that you're born again, from now on, you are going to see an open heaven. I believe and am persuaded that it's always been God's plan that when you and I are born again, that we see an open heaven. Not a closed heaven. Not a church heaven. Not a traditional heaven. Not a dogma heaven. But an open heaven where we see the Son of Man extending from heaven to earth like a ladder, like a stairway. Jesus prophesied it. And I say now, Father, prophesy it again. Prophesy it over our church. Prophesy it over our family. Prophesy it over this region. From now on, we will see an open heaven. Now remember, the fig tree speaks of purpose and destiny. Jesus saw Nathanael in submission to his purpose and his destiny. I want you to know that I was not born in this earth that I might achieve great things for myself, nor acquire wealth, nor goods, or create a reputation for myself. No, you and I were born and placed into this earth with an eternal purpose, with a divine destiny. And when you and I get under that, when we reposition ourselves and say, Father, I submit to the divine destiny and the eternal purpose of God for my life, that's when things begin to happen. That's when you'll begin to see an open heaven. That's when you and I will begin to see Jesus in an entirely different picture. Jesus tells Nathanael, you're going to see angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man into the heavenly realm to gain heavenly provision for vision on the earth. Now the word angels is interesting in this scripture. I want you to note this, please. Mentally, write it down. Don't forget it. Because you have to begin to pray about this and assimilate this truth into your life. If you want to experience it, you're going to have to begin to know it. Here's what he says. The angels will ascend and descend. Now, we talked about that last week. Why do they ascend? Angels, meaning now they have to go from earth into heaven. We said, well, possibly to go from earth into heaven to get provision to bring back down to earth for whatever God's called you to do. That's a good thing. But there's another insight to this. The word angels can also be defined in the Greek as messengers. Everybody say messengers. Now why am I asking you to say that? Because angels detaches our experience from this text. But if we understand it as being messengers, then tie that truth to Revelation. When we read about the angel said to the churches, That is also interpreted by many translators, theologians would agree, as pastors. Pastors as angels. So the translators use angels as pastors and also angels as messengers. What does that tell me? That tells me when I come under submission to the eternal purpose and the divine destiny of God, that God is going to open up the heavens to me. In other words, I'm going to have access. Could it be through the blood of Jesus Christ? And I'm asking you this question. You answer it for yourself. Could it be that you and I, through the blood of Jesus, have access to go to heaven and to come back to earth? Woo! And you're saying, I don't know, that's spooky to me. That's kind of weird to me. That's kind of mystical to me. That's kind of freaky to me. All right, let me help you. How many of you ever go to the movies? Raise your hand. How many have ever been to the movies? Don't worry, you're not going to lose your membership. When you go to the movies, what happens? You become part of what you're seeing on the screen. You cry. You laugh. You relate to the characters. You are enthralled with all that is being revealed. What do you do when you go on vacation? You go down to Paradise Island in the Bahamas, man. Huh? When you come in there, they're playing the steel drums and they're giving you some, well, let's not talk about what they give you, but and they begin to create an atmosphere. So when you go on vacation, you begin to experience paradise. Jesus said, when you get in submission to your eternal purpose and divine destiny, you're going to see an open heaven. And messengers, angels, just like Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, are going to ascend. You're going to be able to go to heaven. Now, when you go to the movies, you don't go into the screen. Silly. So some of you are saying, well, how do you go to heaven? That's weird. That's just weird. Okay, when you go to the movies, do you go into the screen? No. When you go to heaven, you experience all that heaven is. You experience all that heaven has provided. You experience all the glory and the power and the majesty that is abounding in heaven. So you and I, through Jesus Christ as our stairway, can experience the fullness of God. Amen? This is exciting, ladies and gentlemen, because visiting heaven is as easy as developing intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy. Say that word. Into me see. God, I want you. Into me see. And I want to into you see. In other words, you develop it through prayer. You develop it through worship. Why? Because God wants to show us things which you do not know. Now, is there anyone in here that believes they know everything there is to know in this world? Okay, besides you 12 teenagers, put your hands down. So you think you know, but when you... No, really, seriously. So here's Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. He says, call upon the Lord, and He will show you great and mighty things, which what? You did not know. That tells me there is a place in God where I can go and I can learn something there that I don't know here. So if I don't know something here and I need to know it, I can go there and I can get it. And that's what Jesus was telling Nathanael. So Nathanael was about to experience something. Let me prophesy to you. Church on the North Coast, those of you that are hungering and thirsty, those of you that are entering into the Hunger Games, catching fire. It's prophetic to this nation. Hunger Games. Are you hungry? Are you wanting to catch fire? You see, the Bible tells us that God wants us to reposition ourselves, to submit to our purpose and destiny. I talked to someone not long ago who was very frustrated with where they were in life. Felt very discouraged and very depressed. And what I tried to encourage them was, look at the bigger picture. See where you are as not who you are, but see where you are as an opportunity to discover God in that place. To discover something that you right now don't know. You follow me? In other words, call upon the name of the Lord and He will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. There is something that you're not seeing. There's something that you don't know. There's something that you're about to experience if you'll just go to heaven. You'll get in His presence. Nathaniel was about to experience a new season. I'm declaring this over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and I decree over Church on the North Coast that they are entering into a new season because they are positioning themselves in submission to their purpose and their destiny in Jesus' name. How do I know that? Because a fig tree speaks of an early spring. How many want to see an early spring? I do. I was told last night, right, Josh? The truck got broke. The ball joint fell out of the truck. And we couldn't plow the parking lot. That's why it was the way it was this morning. So I think we need an early spring. We can either fix the truck or have an early spring. I go for an early spring. What do you all think? Forget fixing the truck. Let's just change the season. Or you can go to Florida. The problem with going to Florida is you got to come back. I know what I'm talking about. Besides, it was 38 degrees this morning in Fort Myers. 38. Now watch. I'm prophesying an early spring. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 13. The TPT. Listen to this. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? I want to sing this. If I could sing, I would sing that. No, I can't sing. But if I could, I would sing that. I would put that to music. That would be lyrics. I would declare this to people. I'd say, cannot you discern the new day? That's of destiny breaking forth around you. The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The early signs are of my plans and my purposes are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about the fig tree. The fig tree was symbolic of prophetic timing and prophetic release. The fig tree spoke of Israel, but it also speaks of a change of season. And when you get under the fig tree, it's symbolic of a new season that you're expecting. When I get under it, when I get under my purpose and destiny, I'm saying, God, I'm expecting a new season. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture tells us that when you do that, something is going to begin to take place. It's going to begin to blossom. And when it begins to blossom, it's the sign of an early spring. Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. Look at the next scripture. Follow along, church. For you are my dove. Aww. God calls you His dove. Hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. I want you to follow me, please. Go back in your mind with Nathaniel. And this is going to be a challenge because some of us are so trained just to hear shouting preaching and emotional services that you don't think when you're being talked to. I want you to listen and I want you to think. I want you to correlate. I want you to put thought together. I want you to look for revelation because God is speaking to us. What did He say to Nathaniel? Nathaniel, because you got in submission to your purpose and destiny, you've come to meet me. Now I'm going to do what? I'm going to open up the heavens for you. There's a progression. There's a progression of meeting Jesus and open heaven. Here in the Song of Solomon, a new season's coming. What does he say? He said, first of all, I'm going to hide you in the split open rock. How many know what the split open rock is? It's the side of Jesus, the wounded side of Jesus. That's what it means. Absolutely, sir. It means the wounded side of Jesus. There's not one theologian, there's not one translator that would not agree with that. So Jesus said, first of all, I'm going to hide you in my wound. I'm going to save you there, but I'm not going to just leave you in the split open rock. I'm going to take you and hide you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. In other words, the stairway to an open heaven. I want you to be lifted up. I want you to come up higher. I want you to come to a place with me where you can see heavenly destiny and purpose resolving in your life. Then he said this, let me see your face. How do we do it? Here it is. Come on. So let's read it together. Start with let. Ready? Come on, let's read it. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship. And I love the sound of your voice in prayer. Who's talking there in that scripture? Jesus, the bridegroom, speaking to the bride. He's telling them, look, I've got a place for you. It's high, high. I'm going to hide you away in the secret stairway. And there, how do you get there? How do you stay there? Because you want to see my radiant face. I want to see your radiant face. You want to hear my voice. I want to hear your voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I gaze upon him, in love and adoration, when we lift our voice and begin to praise him, Father, I want to thank you. God, I bless you. Lord, you're so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for the wells of salvation that I draw living water from. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, God, that you have blessed me abundantly. He hears your voice. It's a sweet sound to him. When you gaze upon him, your eyes are like doves' eyes. They are beautiful. And he said, I just love to hear your sound of your voice in prayer. It's like when Tina and I were dating and we call each other on the phone and 3 hours later, we're still on the phone and we weren't even talking. I would breathe and then she would breathe. I would breathe and then she would breathe. I just loved hearing her breathe. You know how hard it was to hang up? You say, okay, I'm going to say goodbye now. No, you say goodbye first. No, you say goodbye. And it's hard to make the disconnection because you are so in love. Church, you got to reconnect to Jesus on that level. Come on, we got to reconnect to Jesus on that level that you don't want to hang up. You don't want to go on in life because you are satisfied right where you are. Right where you are. The sign of the fig tree blossoming is a sign of a new season. He tells us this. The change of season is concurrent with something, though. It's concurrent with the fragrance of the blossoms. The sign of the season change is concurrent with the fragrance of the blossoms. The blossoms will not come until we position ourselves under our purpose and destiny. That's how you cultivate it. When you cultivate the fig tree, it will bring forth blossoms. When it brings forth blossoms, it emits a fragrance. Your life becomes the fragrance of Christ. Not only is it attractive by this world, but you know what else it's attractive by? Jesus. Jesus smells the blossoms of your life. Jesus smells the fragrance that's coming out of your life because it is a beautiful thing to him. It is a beautiful thing to him. Notice, run with me to the higher place. Then in verse 14, I hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. He said something about dove's eyes. Did you know you have 3 sets of eyes? Some of us thought it was only 2, if you wear glasses. You have 3 sets of eyes. Everybody say dove's eyes. Dove's eyes are symbolic of worship. Gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. God, you gave me dove's eyes. I want to behold your beauty. I want to behold your glory. I want to behold your face, your radiance, dove's eyes. But he's also given us eagle eyes. You know what eagle eyes are for? Eagle eyes are prophetic. They're to be able to see long distances into the future and declare and decree a thing in our present. It is to chart a course of flight. When an eagle descends upon a prey, that sees it miles away. It has the ability to see in the future that adjusts its flight pattern in the present. God said, I give you eagle eyes. But you know what else he gives us? Are you ready for this? Owl eyes. Why? Because you and I borrowed this, need to learn who's who in this world. Not my original. But what does it mean? Owls see in the dark. Why is it important to see in the dark? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Troy was preaching and he walked all the way to the back. And he began to speak to someone sitting over here. He began to declare to him what God was doing, what he will do. And what was he doing? He was treasure hunting. Owls see in the dark. In other words, this world, there's not saved and unsaved. There are Christian and pre-Christian. Do you follow me? It's not God's will that any man should perish, but all should have everlasting life, right? There are Christian and pre-Christian. There are brides, and then there are brides-to-be. And when you and I have owl eyes, we don't look at the nasty attitude of the guy working next to you or your neighbor down the street. But because you have an owl eye, you can see through the darkness and find the treasure that God planted in his heart. God has created every man and every woman in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the challenge, ladies and gentlemen. You know I've got to tend the garden. Adam was given the assignment to tend and keep the garden of God, yet he forfeited it by disobeying the voice of God. The garden was for the purpose of intimate friendship with God. That was the purpose of the garden. It was the place of blossoming. It was the place of fruitfulness. It is where God chose to meet with man. The garden was the meeting place, the atmosphere of communion and fellowship with the Creator God. Listen to Proverbs 27 and 18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he waits on his master and he will be honored. Whoever keeps the fig tree, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat of its fruit. Did you know that you are the planting of the Lord? Huh? Did you know you're the plant? How many know you're the planting of the Lord? Amen. If you didn't know, you are. You are the planting of the Lord. And listen, God wants us to what? Bloom where we're what? Blossom where we're planted. How do I blossom? I get under the purpose and destiny of God. I begin to see the open heaven. I begin to go to heaven like I go to movies. I see it as real as I did the movie that moved me. Whether that movie that you saw was what's the guy in South Africa? Mandel? Not Mandel. What was his name? Mandela. That moved you. Or some other powerful historic documentary of a great, and you wept as you sat there and you were so moved by courage and humility, and you walked out of that as a changed person. You went to the movies. Go to heaven like that. And come back a changed person. I want you to hear this scripture as I get ready to close, and I don't want you to be discouraged when you hear this. It's actually encouragement. It actually speaks of Israel, but it's applicable to the believer as well. So go in your Bible to Luke chapter 13. Jesus tells this parable. It's a parable in verses 6 through 9. This is how it reads. There was a man who planted a fig tree. Everybody say, there was a man who planted a fig tree. Mm-hmm. But when he came to gather its fruit from his tree, he found none for it, none, for it was barren and had no fruit. Say, there was a man who planted a fig tree. who got hungry, who came to the fig tree and found it barren. Got the story so far? What a waste. Go ahead and cut it down. So the owner of the orchard, the one that planted the fig tree, came to receive from the fig tree. This is very important, and you'll hear more about this next week. God didn't just save you for yourself. He saved you for Himself. It's a very interesting concept. And He comes to our life to receive the fruit of His planting. So He goes into this vineyard, expects to get fruit, and finds none, and says, what a waste, cut it down. But what does the gardener say? The gardener says this, sir, we should leave it one more year. Say one more year.
One more year.
I was praying about this the other day, and I said, Lord, why aren't some people wanting to get on that bus on February 16th? He said, because they never get on a bus to do that. They never will. I said, no, Lord, one more year. Why not this year? Why not make a difference? Why not press in? Why not go a little further? Why not go beyond what you ever did before just to see what God might do in your life?
Yes.
Just draw near to God. Yeah. Draw nigh unto God and He shall. That's all it is. It's making an effort. It's moving forward. It's saying, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to press in this year, 2014. I'm going to make this year my year. I'm going to press in because I believe God has called me to bear much fruit. Let me fertilize. Let me cultivate it. And then let's see if it will produce fruit. And if it doesn't bear fruit by next year, we'll cut it down. Two key words, fertilize and cultivate. When God placed Adam in the garden, He said, here's two things I want you to do. Tend and keep. Everybody say tend and keep. What's the word tend mean? Cultivate. What's the word keep mean? To fertilize or to protect. To be able to guard so that it can grow. Adam, however, forfeited his assignment. He didn't cultivate or fertilize, and the enemy came in and partook of something that was given to God. Watch this. The fruit on the tree was not intended for man to partake of. The fruit on your life is not for you to partake of. It's not for this world to partake of. It's not so you can build some great dynasty on the earth. The fruit in your life is reserved specifically and only for God.
That's right.
He said, don't you touch it. But what happened? He didn't tend it, and he didn't what? Fertilize it, and he did not keep it, did not protect it. And the enemy came in. Enemy came in, and what did he do? He went right for the fruit. Only he used Adam's hand to pick it. He used Adam's mouth to chew it. But it was a devil that stole the fruit of God's planting that was intended exclusively for God. Do you feel me, church? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is a season when you and I have an opportunity to begin bearing fruit. Next week I'll show you how to guard that fruit, how to keep that fruit from being stolen by the enemy. But here it is. The man that planted the garden came to the fig tree to partake of its fruit. And so it is in the Father in heaven. We are the planting of the Lord. It comes to us desiring to eat of the fruit produced through our connection with Him. We are His delight. The new season coming is when everyone will bear much fruit to the delight of Jesus. He will come and visit His people. He will walk in the cool of the day. He will partake of the fruit-bearing efforts of His church, of His people. We will be fruitful for God. And He will fellowship with us. The Bible specifically speaks of nine fruit not just the fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament. I'm going to give you 9 fruits of the Spirit out of the Old Testament that you may have never seen. And I'll show with you, to show you next week. And together we'll discover what these 9 fruits have implications to in our particular life. I'm challenging us again today. 2014, don't make it like 2013, like 2012. Don't settle for where you are. Begin to press in. Begin to pray more. Turn the TV off. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Begin to say, you know what? I'm not happy with the way my life is gone. I want to not only be hid in the split of the rock, but I want to be lifted into the heavenly stairway of God. I want to go where He is. I want to become the fragrance of Christ in the earth. A new season is coming. The gardener, that was the Holy Spirit. So I pray now, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dig again. Holy Spirit, don't pass me by this kingdom moment. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dig again. Holy Spirit, don't pass me by this kingdom moment. Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dig again. And Holy Spirit, don't pass me by in this kingdom moment. This 2014 year, the year of double-double, the year of double-double. Don't pass me by, God. Whether it's getting on the bus or whether it's turning off your weekly favorite soap, whether it's cleaning up your act, pursuing Him in worship, dig again, God, dig again, God, dig again. I have the appearance, Father. I have the appearance, God. I've got many leaves. But oh, if you take a closer look, I have no fruit. Oh, I have no fruit. Dig again, dig again. Dig again, God, dig again. So come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, and dig again in my life. Don't pass me by in this kingdom moment in 2014. Oh, 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 God, don't pass me by in this kingdom moment. Dig again, dig again, dig again. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, I'm going to break up your fallow ground. I'm going to dig deep into your fallow ground. I'm going to break up the clods. I'm going to come to the hard places. Oh, I'm going to dig again. I'm going to dig again. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, I'm going to breathe again, I'm going to breathe again. I'm going to send the wind into the furrows of my plowing. God, we need air. We need the sunlight to go deep beneath the surface of our lives. Dig again, dig again, dig again. So come, Holy Spirit, would you come one more time to me? Dig again, God, my life. Don't pass me by in this kingdom moment. 2014 is my kingdom moment. Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Break up the fallow ground. Release your wind into my furrows. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Moisten the depths of my heart with your rain. Soften the soil of my heart with your rain. Come, Holy Spirit. Come one more time and dig again. Don't pass me by in this kingdom moment. Father, dig again at church on the North Coast. Dig again, God, around us and make us fruitful for you. Oh, dig again. Break up the fallow ground. Let your wind blow beneath the surface of my heart. Oh, dig again. Send the rain, God, send the rain, Father, to moisten the soil of my heart. I want to bear fruit for you, God, in this day. Oh, Lord God, would you smell the aroma? Would you smell the fragrance, God, of my life? Let us walk together, God. It's only for you, God. Would you lift your hand up and worship him?
Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Would you dig again, God? Dig again, God.
Let it rain.
Break up the fallow ground
in
my heart.
Let it rain.
Let your wind blow, let your
wind blow. Floodgates of heaven.
Let it moisten, God, the soil of my heart.
The wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear. I feel the rains of your love. I feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear.
Sing it again. I feel the rains of your love.
I feel the rains of your love.
Feel the winds of your spirit.
I feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear.
Dig again, God.
I feel the rains of your love.
I feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear.
Let it rain.
Dig again.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Sing, dig again. Dig again. Dig again. Dig again. Open. Open the floodgates of heaven. One more time. Dig again. Sing it instead of let it rain.
Dig again.
Dig my life again, God.
Dig again.
Open.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Now listen to the response of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 13. I want you to hear this, church. This is God's response to your prayer. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. What a perfect paradise unfolds within you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spice. I find many clusters of my exquisite fruit growing within your inner garden. So my prayer and your prayers today, Father, come taste the fruits of your life in me. Come taste the fruits of your life in me. God, will you come taste the fruits of your life planted in me? That's right. That's right. That's right. So I make this commitment and declaration. You can put it up on the screen. And I want you to say this with me. I commit to declare. Come on, let's say it. I commit to declare. The inner garden of my soul is exclusively reserved for my King and the lover of my soul, Jesus. It's not reserved for anything else. You can't go there. This world can't go there. Thoughts of inadequacy can't go there. Depression, you can't go there either. It's only for my Lord. It's my inner garden. It's the planting of Jesus. It's the fruit for His name only. That's where it is. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. It's the planting of the Lord. Church, we are so blessed. So I'm going to pray this prayer that this week you'll cry out, God, dig again. And make this year something absolutely different than what your normal, predictable self has been. When you go to turn on that television for that program, say, no, I'm going to dig again. When you begin to think and respond to that person the way you always have in the past, no, I'm going to dig again. When the pastor announces a prayer meeting or a soaking service or get on a bus and let's go fellowship with another church and you think, ah, that's not for me, why don't you say, dig again? When we receive a love offering for missions, and everyone giving at least $5 in this offering to meet the needs of those of the persecuted church and without Christ, orphans, and those in need. Don't say, well, I already gave in the offering. Why not say, dig again, I'm going to give. I'm going to go where I've not gone before. I'm going to be a part of something I've always thought that wasn't for me. I'm going to dig again. That's all I'm asking you to do, and I'm telling you, you'll be taken from the side of the wounded Christ. You'll be lifted from the split in the rock to the stairway in heaven. Woo! Led Zeppelin had it all wrong, and so do many of us. We thought materialism is our stairway to heaven. That's a fake heaven. I'm going to dig it again. I'm going to let Jesus bear fruit in my life. I want to ask the ushers if you'd help me. I feel compelled to give for missions today. Folks, this is an opportunity that we have, and I want you to give to it. If everybody can give $5 into this offering for missions, we'll promise to use it exclusively to reach out to those that yet need to hear the story. Locally, internationally, orphanage, wherever. But I'm asking everyone to participate as much as you can. Ushers, if you do that, I thank you so much. Finally, before we close the service, I was doing some research. And tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King's day. His birthday was actually the 15th of January. Go ahead and receive it. $5 each. It's all going to missions. And he had such prophetic statements, faith prophetic statements that he's made. I don't know if we're aware of that. And I wanted to share one with you and to commemorate this man's great life. He simply said this, and this is with purpose that I read this. Any religion, this is Dr. King, any religion that professes to be concerned about the souls of men and is not concerned about the slums that cripple the soul, the economic condition that stagnate the soul, and the city governments that may damn the soul, is a dry, dead, do-nothing religion in need of new blood. Now, you don't hear that quote too often, but I think that's one of the greatest quotes that Dr. King ever made. And you and I need to be encouraged by that quote yesterday at Joshua Kids, about 75 children, and I don't know how many workers were here. We do Joshua Kids now once a month because we don't have the finances. Ladies and gentlemen, let Dr. King inspire you. Let's get it back to weekly. Let's get those buses rolling into those neighborhoods and bring those kids in. Why? Because any religion that professes to be concerned about the souls of men and does not be concerned about the slums that cripple the soul, or the economic conditions that stagnate the soul, or the city governments that damn the soul, is dry, dead, and it's a do-nothing religion. Wow. Now, those of you that want to help us get it started, February 8th, mark that date down, we're going to create another Joshua Kids in the East. We're going to go into Slavic Village, one of the most difficult, poverty-stricken, crime-ridden areas. We're going to couple with another group that's there already. 30 young adults literally moved into that city so they can make a difference. And we said, we're going to come help you reach the children of that area. My wife and Rebecca, Pastor Troy, others, Mary, are going to go and we're going to train their workers. But I want you to be a part of it. Dig again. Oh, dig again. Dig again, dig again, dig again, dig again. Make 2014 a digging again year. So I don't normally do that. That's for somebody else. I say dig again. So it's February 8th, and we're going to create an outreach there of reaching children for Christ. Let's do it to honor Jesus Christ. Let's do it to honor the kingdom. Let's do it to honor greats like Dr. Martin Luther King, who preceded us, and now we can actually initiate some of those burdens and vision. How about it, church? What do you think? February 8th? I don't have the time yet, but mark it down. It'll probably be about 10 in the morning. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to canvass the neighborhood. That's why we need 100 of us. 100. I'm looking for 100 people going on every door, knocking on them, and say, hi, do you have any children? We're from Church on the North Coast, and we're Joshua Kids, and we want to bring your children into the most exciting program in about 2 hours. Sign this permission slip. Then we're going to go back to the location. It's a former funeral home. That's what we're going to use. A former funeral home. We're going to call it the Resurrection House. That's where people that once were dead are now going to be made alive. Amen? Once were blind and now they're going to see. Hallelujah. 100 of us knocking on doors. When those kids come in, we're going to do an actual Joshua Kids morning. Then we're going to train everybody on how to do this, how to bring Christ into their heart and how to touch the lives of these young children. Change a child, change a nation. Amen? Thank you so much for giving this morning. Thank you for marking down February 8th. Do we have the bus sign-ups on the concierge desk? Does anyone know? We do. Okay. Please, following this dismissal in about a 30-second time, would you please sign up to go with us to Akron Bethel? If you don't want to take the bus, we'll get you the address. You can GPS it and just drive there. But we want to bring about 200 Holy Ghost, Bible-believing, devil-stomping, Bible-thumping, tongue-talking, prophetic people into that region and blow up that whole community with a praise that's going to ascend unto heaven that hasn't been heard since Azusa Street. That's what I'm believing. I'm believing there's going to be another Azusa revival. Are you ready? Dig again, dig again, dig again. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we'd love to see you out there in the valley. Come, comfortable clothing on. We'll be worshiping, releasing prophetic ministry. Healings will take place. It's going to be awesome. Hey, we love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You got that? So don't even try. No sense in you getting mean. I'm going to love you anyway. Right? So love right. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. See you next time right here, Church on the North Coast. By the way, wait. Wednesday, Thursday night, Pastor Troy and Rebecca. We're not going to do the soaking on Thursday. Pastor Troy and Becca are going to be right here teaching a powerful series on raising your children, loving your children on purpose. It'll change your life. Powerful teaching. Be here or be square.